I need your prayers tonight. I have a burden on my heart, and I realize that it's going to take the Lord to help me to be able to deliver it, get the foundation that I'd like to lay in order to deliver the burden that He has given me. Dear ones, we're living in times where it seems like we're in continual change in our society. It seems like everything and anything is being questioned, challenged, and changed in our world today. Many of those changes are not good for our society. And it's left many people feeling insecure in their relationships, in the future, and in their faith in God. And the reason for that is because man has tampered with things that he ought not to have tampered with. And I want you to know tonight, if you don't get anything else out of this message, the law of the Lord is a settled law. It never changes. I'd like to start by looking at a passage of Scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter. Very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter, and starting in the first verse, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I'd like to consider this second verse here this evening, and particularly draw our attention to what it says about the law of life versus the law of sin and death. But to start with, I'd like to ask us a question. When someone mentions the law, what comes to your mind? What is your definition of a law? To many, it's the laws of our land, the rules and guidelines that govern our society. And Webster defines a law as the system of rules that a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members and may enforce by imposition of penalties, our legal system. That's one definition of a law. But to you and I as Christians tonight, when we hear the law, we may think of the laws of God. And one of the definitions that Webster gave was of a law was the body of divine commandments as expressed in the Bible or other religious texts. Now, both of these are definitions of a law. But when you consider the laws of God, there is something uniquely different about the laws of God than the laws of man. And it is illustrated, and I believe God did this for a purpose, it's illustrated in the laws of nature. Webster also defined a law as a statement of fact deduced from observation to the effect that a particular natural or scientific phenomena always occurs if certain conditions are present. It's the laws of nature. Brother Clint, I thought he was going to preach this message this morning. There is something about the laws of nature that you can count on. When the sun rises in the east, it always sets in the west. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You never have to worry about waking up and wondering, well, I wonder if the sun is going to rise in the south and set in the north, or rise in the west and set in the east, or some other place. It doesn't do that, does it? Because God ordained that it should be so. It's the same thing with the seasons. Do you ever, when you go through winter and you've prepared all for winter and the snows and all the things that happen, as soon as winter is over, do you think, now, I wonder if we're going to have another winter right after this? And then maybe a fall before we have a spring. Have you ever worried about that? There's a reason, isn't it? Because God ordained that it should be so. I realize that there are weather patterns change and all, but the seasons still follow the commands that God gave. I want to read something about a law. What man has discovered about the physical laws of nature. It says a physical law or a scientific law is a theoretical principle deduced from particular facts applying to a defined group or class of phenomena, inexpressible by the statement that a particular phenomena always occurs if certain conditions are present. Physical laws are typically conclusions based on repeated scientific experience and observations over many years, and which have become accepted universally within the scientific community. It's an undeniable fact. What man has discovered over time is that the laws of nature are settled. There's something that if certain conditions are present, you can always expect certain results, because that's the way God created it. Now, I'm trying to lay a foundation here, so you bear with me. It gave some definitions of this. It said several general properties of physical laws have been identified. Physical laws are true, at least within the regime of validity. By definition, there have never been repeatable, contradicting observations. It is universal. They appear to apply everywhere in the universe. They're simple. They're expressed typically in terms of a single mathematical formula. They're absolute. Nothing in the universe appears to affect them. They're stable, unchanged since first discovered, and they're omnipotent. Everything in the universe apparently must comply with them. Now, dear ones, these are not my words. This is what scientists, this is what learned men have discovered about the laws of nature. There is something about this, and I read all this because I believe it's important for you and I to understand the true meaning of a settled law. I believe it's important for us to recognize that this is different than man's ideas and opinions. It's different than scientific theories, which change and evolve as time and circumstances change and information becomes available. When you look at these laws from a scientific standpoint, it has to be something that is established, settled, proven without beyond reasonable doubt. It has to be something that is not subject to change or interpretation. A law, in order to be a law, has to be something that never changes, that they can always go back to and say, this is it. Whether it's Newton's laws of physics or Albert Einstein's theory of relativity or any other scientific fact, it must be established beyond reasonable doubt before even man would consider it to be a set of law. Well, I say all that to ask us the next question. Outside of the laws of nature, where would you find laws like this? Would you consider the laws of our nation to be settled laws? I say no, and I see people shaking their heads. Dear ones, we're living in times where laws that have been considered settled laws for many years have been challenged and changed by our courts. Some of the latest examples, and you know these, are the definition of the sexes and marriage. For centuries, marriage has always been between a man and a woman. God ordained it to be that way in the very beginning, and it has been that way all the way down through time. Now, it's true that man has deviated somewhat from that, and they've had more than one companion, but when Christ came, he brought us right back to the very beginning. And he said in the beginning, this is how God created. It was one man and one woman. And it has always been, that's been the definition, it's been a settled law because it was based on God's word. But in one decision, the Supreme Court in our land, 5-4 decision, I believe it was, completely reversed years and years of established settled law in our land. There were many other laws that were based on that settled law, including child custody, inheritance, marriage license, you could go on and on. All of those laws and guidelines were based on that settled law of the definition of marriage. With this change came many other changes as well, including the definition of gender and the sexes. You know, always before, a person was what they were born as. what God created them, male or female. And yet, in our world today, you can be either or both, depending on how you feel. There are states, at least one state, that has already adopted laws that you do not have to select male or female on your license. It can be other. I believe that's Oregon. I pray for you saints in Oregon. I don't know. It seems like they're self-destructing out there. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is what happens when man begins to tamper with things and to begin to usurp authority that rightly belongs to our Creator. It creates chaos. It creates confusion. It causes strife. There are no absolutes. You can be male or female or other, whatever you want to be. Dear ones, we're living in times where things are being challenged all around us. It reminds me of a scripture, and I want to look at it over here in Daniel. Very familiar scripture in Daniel, the 7th chapter and the 25th verse. The Lord had given Daniel a glimpse of some of the things of what it would be like in the latter days. And he told him here, he said, "And they shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until time and time and dividing of times." Dear ones, we need to be aware of, and we need to remember what the tactics of the enemy are, lest we become frustrated, discouraged, or defeated by them. When you look around in our society today, you see all kinds of things that the enemy is stirring up between the sexes, between races, between husband and wife, in congregations, between religious movements. There's everything that he can. And dear ones, there's a reason for that. Because his ultimate purpose is to destroy and to wear out the saints of the Most High. When you look at this, Webster defines wear as damage, erode, or destroy by friction or use. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he wants to damage or destroy us. And he'll use any means that he can to accomplish his purpose. Why else do you think the devil wants to change times and laws? It's not just to change them to suit him. He wants to change things to take and create enough friction to wear out those that are endeavoring to live for God. He knows he's already going to get all of those that are intent on going another way, but he changes things for the intent purpose to try to wear us out. Do you know, dear ones, there is more behind just being accepted, behind the push for things that are happening in our society today. Do you realize that's why that there are companies and people that are being forced to do things, to pay for things that are contrary to their moral convictions? It's why there are people that are they're trying to force ministers to perform same-sex marriages. It's why you hear things of people trying to force bakers and photographers and florists to do something that's caught. It's not that they can't go somewhere else. There is an agenda behind it, dear ones, that's even greater than what they realize. The enemy is trying his best to wear out the saints of the Most High. He is trying to create enough friction that he can take and cause you and I to respond carnally. Because he knows when we do. Just like with Moses there when he struck the rock, it's going to cost us. And if he can't get us to respond carnally, dear ones, he's going to try to wear us out. Get us to become inattentive, if that's a word. Not to recognize or to pay attention to what's going on around us. He wants us to just stick our heads in the sand, so to speak, to where that we don't realize what is going on. I was speaking to a group of people there at work. We were talking one day, and they were talking about some of the events that were happening in our nation. And as they were talking about him, one of the guys that I worked with, he spoke up and he said, "I don't even listen to the news anymore." It made him so frustrated, he said, "I've just tuned it all out. I can understand why he felt that way. And dear ones, there's something to not getting involved in something that will rob your peace. But I want you to know something tonight. We cannot afford to just stick our head in the sands, because that's not going to cause these things to go away. I think about a scripture over here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. There was a warning that the Apostle Peter gave us in 1 Peter 5 and 8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may destroy." He said here in Luke, the 21st chapter, Jesus was speaking, and he said in the 36th verse, he said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted to worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." I'm not saying to you tonight that we need to get involved in all the strife and politics in our land today. There's a scripture that says the servant of the Lord must not strive. Dear ones, that should be our guideline. And any time something happens and the enemy stirs something up, whether it's between the sexes, between the races, between husband and wife, in a congregation, we need to go back to that scripture. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Make that your guideline. Because, dear ones, if we do not, the enemy is going to take and try to stir things up. Remember, to wear is to damage or erode by friction of use. He wants to create friction to cause us to be destroyed. In Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 33rd verse, Jesus was speaking. He said, "So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." Dear ones, we need to recognize the signs of our time, lest those things come upon us unawares, and we become discouraged, depressed, or frustrated by the tactics of the enemy of our soul. A lot of people in our world today have gotten so busy with the cares of life. They've gotten just completely frustrated with all the strife and all the things that's happening in our world, that they've just stuck their head in the sand, so to speak. And they have taken and they've gotten to the place to where they have no idea what is going on around them. And they do not realize that the enemy is spinning webs not only to destroy our nation, but to destroy them as well. I want to look at a scripture here. It's a very familiar scripture. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Dear ones, this is what it's going to take for you and I to be able to stand in these evil days. We're going to have on the whole armor of God. But I'm going to tell you, I am very concerned this evening that the enemy has worn out many professed Christians in our world today. There are many that they have taken and allowed themselves to get caught up in the strife, the contention that the enemy has stirred up in our country, in their homes, in their congregations. And so they have just taken and they've just turned their backs on that and said, "I don't want any part of it." Until later on something happens and they awake one day and their church has accepted things like same-sex marriage. And then they're overwhelmed. And they're asking, "How did this happen?" It's because they weren't paying attention to the moral decay that was happening all around them. Others have taken and gotten themselves so busy with all the things that life has to offer that they have no time to attend church regularly. And some have quit altogether. And dear ones, that is the reason that our nation is in the condition that it's in today. There has been no real moral authority governing our nation or many people's lives for a long time. And so now we've found ourselves in a place where our nation is accepting things that people are wondering, how did this happen? We're a Christian nation. And people are like, how is this happening? Dear ones, I believe it's important for you and I to recognize how the enemy has slipped these kind of things in. The enemy has been working for a long time to change times and laws. He has slipped in and he has slowly changed church teachings, Bible doctrines, until many denominations in our world today are teaching and accepting things that are totally contradictory to what they once stood for. Others have taken and allowed the enemy of their soul to come in and cause them to be so frustrated by the things that have happened between different religious movements and even in their congregations that they've just said, I don't want any more of it. And so they've gone out and they left it alone. And the enemy has slowly taken and coming in, and he's been working in our country. This is how, dear ones, we as a nation have gotten to the place to where it seems like anything and everything has been accepted in our world today. I was concerned when the Supreme Court was debating the subject of marriage. And I began to pray about it, and I felt like the Lord would have me to send them a letter. And so I sent a certified letter to each of the Supreme Court justices. And when I did, I began to warn them about the consequences of trying to change settled laws. I told them, it's a slippery slope. Once you start down this path, where does it stop? Who gets to decide? If you take it away from settled law, which is God's law, and you begin to change it to somebody's idea and opinion, where does it end? And who gets to decide? Is it the president, the courts? Is it the majority of the people? Where does it stop? My idea, your opinion. It's a very slippery slope. And I began to try to urge them, and I pled with them, not to tamper with something that rightly belonged to our Creator. But you know, dear ones, I realize, after I wrote that and sent it, how can I really expect them to do any differently? When the justices of our Supreme Court have watched the religious leaders of our land do the same thing over the years to the laws of God, they have taken and they have slowly changed Bible doctrines, denominational teachings, until many of the churches in our land today have taken and accepted things that are totally contrary to the laws of God. Their doctrines and their denominational teachings have evolved and changed as society has changed. And as I thought about that, I thought, how can I expect the Supreme Court justices, when they look at our religious leaders and they see all of these things that have evolved and changed, how can I expect them to do any different? For example, adultery is something that the Bible is very clear on. The Scriptures clearly identify what it is. It clearly identifies how God looks at it, and it gives the punishment for that. It's all within the Scriptures. But dear ones, you will find where that many denominations in our world today have accepted it as society has changed. Another thing that the Scriptures is very clear on is modesty, purity, and holiness. It's taught throughout the Scriptures. And yet you will find that many churches in our land today have totally changed their teachings on these subjects, and they have even accepted almost as inevitable the consequences of those changes. When you begin to lower the standards of modesty and holiness and purity, you begin to see what's happening in our world today. Do you know, dear ones, the Bible is also very, very clear about sin. What it is, how God looks at it, and what the punishment is for sin. And yet, I would challenge you to find very many places in our world today, very many denominations that have not wholeheartedly accepted the false doctrine that all are sinners and all are sinning more or less every day. Totally contrary to the laws of God. Dear ones, this is why. As I began to meditate on these things and I thought, how can I expect these men and women in the Supreme Court, when they have seen religious leaders totally change the laws of God, how can I expect them not to do the same thing? Do you know, dear ones, Daniel tried to warn us, or the Lord tried to warn Daniel, us through Daniel. Here in this seventh chapter, he said, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they should be given into his hand until time and times and dividing of times." I want you to notice particularly what it said in that last part of that verse. He said, "It shall be given unto them in his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." Dear ones, while God may allow man for a period of time to usurp authority that rightly belongs to God, like the Pope, many other religious leaders, like some of the politicians and the judges in our land today, who have taken and changed laws and doctrines, all of these different standards and teachings, dear ones, even though God allows them to usurp authority for a period of time to do this, it does not change the laws of God. There is something about the laws of God that is different than the laws of man. The laws of man will change and evolve over and over as time and circumstances change. But dear ones, the laws of God are a settled law. It is true. It is a law that is settled. It is something that never changes. It said here, remember what it said, a law is true, it's universal, it's simple, it's absolute, it's stable, it's omnipotent. And that leads me to the real burden of my heart this evening. Dear ones, I want us to remember something about the laws of God. They are different than the laws of man. And we'll read the definition again of a law. It says a statement of fact deduced from the observation and the effect to the effect that a particular natural or scientific phenomenon always occurs given certain conditions are present. Dear ones, I want you to know tonight, if you and I meet the conditions that God has set in His Word, the laws of God will consistently produce the promised results. I'm going to say it again because I want us to remember this, because I'm going to tell you, in all the changes in our society, people are wondering if the laws of God are the same. Dear ones, if you and I meet the conditions that are set in the Word of God, the laws of God will consistently produce the promised results. I want to go back now to our text in Romans, the 8th chapter. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Dear ones, Satan has tried over and over to change the laws of God. Satan has tried to deny the power of the blood of Christ to deliver a soul from the law of sin and death. But I want you to know tonight, regardless of what Satan says, regardless of what man does, they cannot change the laws of God. The blood of Christ, true salvation, dear ones, will always break the law of sin and death. It will always deliver a soul from the penalty of sin. Consistently. When God warned Adam and Eve there in the garden not to partake of that forbidden fruit. What he was doing was warning them of the consequences of the law of sin and death. Dear ones, if you and I trifle with sin, there are consequences to sin. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. And dear ones, when you and I take and begin to trifle with sin, there are consequences that will happen. Satan tried and was very successful in convincing Adam and Eve that it wouldn't happen that way. Just like he is convincing any people in our world today. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the law of sin and death is just as certain as the laws of nature. It will happen just like this. There's a scripture in James, very familiar passage of scripture. James, the first chapter, the 14th verse, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Do you know the writer was warning us, be careful of the deceptions of the enemy. There's another scripture that says in one place, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Dear ones, when you and I take and begin to trifle with sin, the law of sin and death is certain and it will bring its consequences. Now you might say, I never intend to go that far. But I'm going to tell you, as the songwriter said, sin will take you farther. I could name you some names of some people right here this evening that they would tell you they never intended to go as far as they went. But they did. They never intended to stay as long as they stayed. But they stayed there. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it is costing them more than they thought they would ever pay. One of the things it is costing them is faith in God. It is very difficult for them to even believe that God is. And that He is able to save those that come unto Him. Dear ones, there is a penalty for sin that is as certain as the laws of nature. And the only thing that will break that law of sin and death is the precious blood of Christ. What did Jesus say? He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should" what? "Not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear ones, it's this blood of Christ that is the only thing that can break the law of sin and death. Jesus made it possible for you and I to be able to break the grip that Satan has upon souls because of the law of sin and death. I want to go to Romans now again in the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse, the Apostle Paul was describing the condition that sin has upon man. In this 24th verse, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He was describing the condition that the law of sin and death has upon an individual. But dear ones, he didn't stop there. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." He was describing to you and I the only remedy to break this powerful law of sin and death. And then he goes right on to our text here in the 8th chapter. And he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." He goes on in this 12th verse and he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body,
you shall live. May the Lord help us encourage our hearts this evening. Dear ones, God made it possible for you and I to escape this law of sin and death. Regardless of what Satan says, regardless of what man does, they cannot change the laws of God. Dear ones, the laws of God are consistent. They are reliable. What did it say? It says the laws of God are simple. Even a child can get a hold of it. They are universal. They apply to all generations, all races, all sexes. It applies to every mankind, the laws of God do. It says they're absolute. Nothing in the universe can affect them. They are stable, unchanged since He first spoke them, and they are omnipotent. Everything in the universe must apply to them. Nothing can change them. Everything is subject to the laws of God, even the laws of nature and the laws that govern this creation. Do you realize, dear ones, that that is why the winds and the sea must obey His command? It's because the law of God is an omnipotent law, and everything in creation must adhere to it. When the disciples were there on the water and on the sea, and it was raging, and they feared for their life, and they cried out, "Master, save us." What did Jesus do? He arose and He rebuked the winds and the sea, and He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you're here tonight and you're being tossed about by all the winds of doctrine in our world, if you're in a situation to where your life, it just seems like sin is about to overwhelm you, the temptations, all the things that are happening, I want you to know, dear ones, if you cry out to God, He can speak peace to your soul, and there is not a thing that sin can do that can have dominion over you. Do you realize that this is why the rain rains when it rains when God says, and it doesn't when He says not to? Just like when Elijah was there, because His word is an omnipotent law that everything in creation must comply with. Dear ones, it's why the flames, the fire, the heat could not affect the three Hebrews. It's why the lions could not take and harm Daniel when God ordained that it would not happen, because His law is an omnipotent law, and it doesn't matter what they faced. When God said no, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, those lions could not do anything. When they were there in the fire, in the midst of the fire, when Christ was there with them and He said the word, it could not affect them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're living in a world that is burning with lust. We're living in a world where our young men and our young women and our older ones alike are being bombarded with all of the indecency and all the things that are happening. And lust is raging and burning in our world today. But I'm going to tell you, if you will cry out to the Lord, He can keep you right in the midst of the fire. Dear ones, He has power over all sin. There is nothing. Don't let the enemy tell you that you cannot resist the devil, because when you get God on your side, all the powers of hell cannot come against you and prevail. Do you realize, dear ones, this is why sickness and disease cannot work its work when God says so? We heard this morning a testimony of Sister Karen and Hal that she had malaria, and how that in spite of the conditions that were there, when prayer was offered over and over, it broke the powers of that disease. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sickness and disease cannot work its work when our Creator speaks the word. I can tell you from experience. I am here tonight, dear ones, because of the power of God. You know my testimony? after multiple heart attacks, and they told me there's no way that the heart will ever heal itself. And I believe that. And that when I laid there on that bed, and I can still picture it in my mind as clear today, when the enemy told me after I'd had numerous ones of those and I was so weak, and he said, "You'll never work again, you'll never preach again, and you'll never be able to provide for your family." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he's a liar. And he's the father of it. Last year when I was there, and I told somebody about this morning when we were praying, I was there in Kentucky and I had a fall. And when I fell, I was up in a barn loft and we were looking for some wood and I fell. Long story, there were a bunch of bees there and they come swarming out and I took off and I fell. And when I did, I landed on this arm and it just popped this arm completely out of the socket. It was dangling. They had to help me down out of the loft. And when I got there, Clint can tell you he was there. And I got down and they said, "You want prayer?" And I said, "Yes. That's all I can ask for, dear ones." And then we sat down and they began to pray. There wasn't nobody working that thing. When they began to pray, all of a sudden there was a... and that thing went right back into the socket. I can't tell you that the pain all went away, dear ones. It was hurting. It hurt terrible. And it did for several days. I got home. My family, some of them, thought I needed to look, get it x-rayed because I really thought I'd broken it too. I went to a doctor there and he x-rayed it, told him exactly what my convictions were. He x-rayed it, took several x-rays, and he told me, he said, "You've torn that rotator cuff and you've done a lot of tissue damage." And he said, "I'm concerned that your shoulder is going to freeze up." They told me that will never heal back. The only way when that gets torn for it to get back is you have to sew it back. You have to have an operation. I'm going to tell you tonight, dear ones, I can move that arm just as free as I ever did. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sickness and disease has no effect when our Creator speaks the word. Dear ones, I say these things because I want us to understand sin cannot have dominion over the child of God when God speaks the word. When you and I meet the conditions, dear ones, sin cannot have any effect upon us. This is why, dear ones, we need to understand the laws of God. They are different than the laws of man. I realize that in our society today, there has been so many changes and people's faith is at a low ebb in our society today. They're in a place where they don't know. I don't know what I can believe anymore. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you get a hold of the laws of God, you can bank on them. They will never change. They're stable. They're unchanged since He first spoke them. They're true. There have never been a time that you will find that the laws of God have ever been not true. It has always been consistent. They're stable. They're omnipotent. Everything in the universe must comply with the laws of God. Dear ones, I want you to know tonight, if you're here, and the enemy has tried to convince you that you can never be saved, you can never be sanctified. You've tried it over and over again. You can never have power over all of those temptations, over the way that you speak to your companion and your children. "This is just the way I am. It's my nature." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the law of God can change nature. It is an omnipotent law, and when you and I meet the conditions, God can come into our hearts and lives and make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. He can totally change who we are. And He can make us a child of God that is able to lift our hands in thanksgiving and testimony that I can live free from sin in this world today. Dear ones, whatever your condition is tonight, whatever your need is, emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it is, if the enemy has been trying to tell you it can never happen, I want to encourage you to do something tonight. I want to encourage you to find a place of prayer. Whether it's here, whether it's in your cabin, whether it's by your bed at home, wherever it is. I want to encourage you to get alone with God and pray and pray and pray until you pray through and God gives you a promise. And dear ones, when He gives you a promise, I want to encourage you to hold on to that promise regardless of how you feel, regardless of what the enemy says, regardless of the circumstances. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when God gives you a promise, that promise can never be broken. If you will get a hold of something from God, dear ones, you can hold on to that until that law of His Word produces the promised results. It will never change. If you get it from God, I can assure you tonight, it will happen just like God said that it will happen. The law of God is an omnipotent law, and everything in creation must comply with His Word. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you also, the law of sin and death is just as certain as the laws of God and the laws of nature. If you and I do not take and accept the free gift that has been offered to us to break this law of sin and death, then the law of sin and death will work its work on you and I. If God says it is time in your life, in mine, or if He says it's finished for this world as a whole, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when He speaks that word, that time is over. Whether it's for you or for me or for this whole world, when God says it is over, it's over, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what man tries to do to delay it or to prevent it. And if you and I are not ready, if we have not accepted the free gift of salvation, that precious blood of Christ that is the only thing that is able to break the law of sin and death, when that time comes, we will pay the penalty for sin, which is death, because that's the law of sin and death. And dear ones, we will pay that penalty throughout eternity in hell. But I want you to know tonight, it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. God paid the price for our salvation. He paid the price for our deliverance from all the works of the flesh. He paid the price for our deliverance from all the things that would try to overwhelm you and I. And when you and I cry out to Him in sincerity of heart and believe on Him, I'm going to tell you, He'll say, "Peace be still." And there'll be a great calm come into our souls. A calm, dear ones, that is not something natural. It's supernatural. It's a power that will take and overcome all the dominion of sin. Why? Because His Word is an omnipotent law that everything in creation must comply with. I hope and pray tonight, dear ones, that you never, and I never forget that. Despite what all is happening in our world today, I want you to know there is a settled law that will never be changed, and that's the law of God. Appreciate your attention tonight.